Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Welcome back to our third part now in our series about the Reiners and trying to grasp what the hell was going on there. The life inside of a home, inside of a relationship with someone like Nick Reiner. So many people have reached out and so many people have really shared such intimate stories. I thought it was important to kind of do this series this week about this. And really examine and dig deep into the emotional chasms that the people around folks like Nick find themselves trying to dig out of after they fall into the pit of that type of behavior around them. And if that's you, if you've been there and you're going, okay, I'm sure there's a version of your son, your daughter, your brother, your partner, whoever that no longer exists. You remember them. You have photos of them. You can describe exactly who they were before the addiction took hold, before the diagnosis that changed everything or made everything make sense. Before they became someone you don't recognize, wearing a face you've loved your whole life. That person is gone. And you know, and sometimes I want to say this, depending on what we're talking about here, if it's addiction or mental illness, sometimes it's a combination of both. Sometimes if it's just mental illness or a personality disorder or something of that, sometimes that person was never there. Sometimes there's a version of that person that you thought was there. You kept telling yourself was there that was never there. But they're still alive. So society and you know, conventional and wisdom and folks around you where you're like, this is really hard. Ah, you'll get through it. You know, you're not allowed to grieve them because they're still breathing. They're still calling, still showing up at holidays with the same eyes and a completely different person behind them. Everyone around you sees something standing there and doesn't understand why you're mourning. But they're right here. At least you're still alive. As if presence and personhood are the same thing. As if a heartbeat means nothing has been lost. This is the loneliest grief there is. The kind with no funeral, no casseroles, no condolence cards. The kinds where you mourn in private because the world doesn't recognize the death. And if you've ever felt it, this grief for someone who's still technically here, you know exactly what I mean. You've cried for someone the world insists you shouldn't be crying about. You've missed someone who's standing right in front of you and you felt insane for feeling any of it. You're not insane. You're grieving. And your grief is real. Understand that's what's going on. It's grieving isn't like, oh, it's a few week process. It can be a lifetime process, depending how long you're dealing with this. Rob and Michelle Reiner watched their son disappear over 17 years. The Nick who existed at 14, whoever that kid was before the drugs, before the diagnosis, before the manipulation became the entire architecture of his personality, that person was gone long before December 14th. But there was no funeral, no moment where the loss was acknowledged, just a slow motion vanishing act where the person they loved was replaced piece by someone they couldn't reach. And they had to keep showing up, keep funding, keep hoping, keep pretending that the person in the guest house, the person at the rehab facility, the person on the press tour for the Being Charlie was the same son they'd held as a baby. Because what's the alternative? Admitting that he's gone while he's still standing there, grieving someone who can still look you in the eye and ask for money? The cruelty of this kind of loss is that it never announces itself. There's no car accident, no diagnosis with a timeline, no moment where a doctor sits in front of you and tells you to prepare. The person you love just fades. One relapse at a time. One lie at a time. One broken promise at a time. Until one day you realize you're having a conversation with a stranger who happens to know your name. The world expects you to act like nothing has changed. This is what psychologists call ambiguous loss, when someone is physically present but psychologically absent. When the body is here but the person is gone, it's considered one of the most difficult forms of grief to process because there's no closure, there's no ending, just an infinite middle where you're supposed to be suspended between hope and despair, never allowed to fully mourn because the object of your mourning might still come back, might. The word is torture. It keeps you frozen in a kind of anticipatory grief that never resolves. You can't move forward because they're still here. You can't be at peace because the person you actually lost might resurface at any moment. A glimpse of what they used to be, a flash of recognition, a moment of clarity that convinces you the real them is still there somewhere, and then they're gone. And you're grieving all over. Rob and Michelle lived in this space for years. They made a movie with Nick in 2015, did the press tour, talked publicly about healing and recovery and a bond between father and son. And from the outside, it looked like resurrection, like the Nick they had lost had finally come back. The whole narrative of Being Charlie was built on that hope, the prodigal son returned through art. But Nick wasn't sober. He admitted it later on a podcast that he wasn't in the position to do a press tour, that he wasn't a quote-unquote sober guy. After the talk show appearances, after the interviews about redemption, he was smoking joints on the roof of his apartment. The whole thing was a performance, and Rob and Michelle were the audience, believing it was real, grieving a loss they thought had ended, only to have it reopened when the truth eventually surfaced. That's the specific cruelty of ambiguous loss. Every time you think the person has come back, the grief gets reactivated. Every glimmer of the old them makes the absence sharper when it disappeared again. Hope becomes its own form of torture because it refuses to let you settle into the loss. It keeps yanking you back to the edge of reunion, only to push you off again. And through all of it, you're just supposed to act normal. How's Nick doing? Someone asked at a dinner party. Oh, you know, he's doing better. We're hopeful. What else can you say? That your son doesn't exist anymore? That the person asking you about him wouldn't recognize the thing that's replaced him? That you cry yourself to sleep some nights missing someone who called you yesterday? The social script doesn't allow for that kind of honesty. So you perform normalcy while grieving in stolen moments. And the isolation compounds because no one around you understands what you've actually lost. This is the double life of grief that families like the Reiners live in public. They showed up to events with Nick, made films with Nick, talked about Nick's recovery in private. They were mourning a version of their son who existed only in photographs and memories. The gap between those two realities, the public performance and the private anguish, is where the loneliness lives. And the loneliest part, nobody tells you that the grief is valid. There's no bereavement leave for losing someone to addiction, no support group for parents of the personality disordered, no cultural framework that says the person you loved is gone and you're allowed to mourn them even though they're technically still alive. just silence and the expectation that you'll keep showing up, keep functioning, keep holding while you're bleeding out from a wound nobody can see. I want to be clear about something. Acknowledging this grief isn't the same as giving up on a person who's still alive. It's not writing them off. It's not declaring them dead when they're still breathing. It's simply telling the truth about what's already happened. The person you loved has been replaced by someone else. That's not pessimism. That's not cruelty. That's an accurate description of what addiction, mental illness, and personality disorders do to people. They hollow them out. They take over. They leave a shell that looks familiar but operates according to entirely different rules. And you're allowed to grieve that. You have to grieve that, actually, if you're ever going to find peace. Because here's what happens when you don't. When you refuse to acknowledge the loss because the person is still technically present, you get trapped in an endless cycle of hope and disappointment. You keep expecting the old them to show up. You keep being devastated when the new them appears instead. Every interaction becomes a referendum on whether they've come back yet. And every time the answer is no, you experience the loss fresh. It's like attending the same funeral over and over without ever being allowed to bury the body. That's what the writers were doing for 17 years, attending a funeral that never ended. Hoping at each new rehab, each new treatment, each new approach that this would be the moment their son returned, and being gutted again and again when the person who emerged as the same stranger who'd been wearing Nick's face for years, the permission that you should give yourself, the thing I wish someone had said to them is this: you can mourn someone who's still alive. This isn't betrayal. This isn't abandonment. This is acknowledgement of reality. The person you loved existed. They were real, and their absence, even while their body remains, is a loss worth grieving. You don't need a death certificate to mourn. You don't need a funeral to say goodbye. You just need permission to feel what you've already been feeling in secret, in shame, in isolation. Consider this your permission. The grief you're carrying isn't evidence that you've given up. It's evidence that you've loved someone real, someone who existed before the disease, the disorder, the destruction took over. That person mattered. Their absence matters. And pretending you haven't lost them doesn't honor their memory. It just extends your suffering. I think about Romy Reiner sometimes, about Jake, about what it must have been like growing up in that house, watching their parents pour everything into a brother who kept disappearing and reappearing as someone else. They were grieving too, grieving a sibling who existed in childhood photographs, but not at the dinner table, grieving a family that might have been if Nick had stayed Nick. And now they're grieving parents who were killed by someone wearing their brother's face. The layers of this loss in that family are almost incomprehensible. But at the center of all this is this: they were never allowed to acknowledge what they were losing while they were losing it. The social expectation to stay positive, to keep hoping, to never give up, meant that the grief had nowhere to go. It just accumulated year after year, unprocessed and unwitnessed, until the final loss made all the previous ones undeniable. You don't have to wait until the worst happens to acknowledge what you've already lost. The person you remember was real. The gap between who they were and who they are now is real. The loneliness of loving someone who's present but gone is real. And your grief, the grief nobody sees, the grief nobody validates, the grief you carry in silence because the world doesn't have a category for it, that's real too. You're not crazy for missing someone who's standing in front of you. You're not weak for crying over someone who's still alive. You're not giving up by admitting that the person you loved has been replaced by someone you don't recognize. You're just telling the truth. And the truth is that some losses happen slowly, invisibly, without the dignity of an ending. Some losses stretch out over years, giving you just enough hope to prevent closure and just enough pain to prevent peace. Some losses leave you grieving in public silence and private agony, isolated by sorrow that nobody around you can see. The Reiners knew this grief. They lived in it for almost two decades. And I suspect in their most honest moments, they mourned the son they'd lost long before they mourned each other. If you knew this grief, if you've been carrying it in secret, feeling ashamed of it, wondering if you're allowed to feel it, I want you to hear me clearly. You're allowed. Your grief is valid, your loss is real, and you don't need anyone's permission to mourn someone who's still breathing. But if you need permission, here it is. Grieve them, miss them, acknowledge what's gone, and stop pretending you haven't lost something just because the world can't see the absence. The person you love existed, their disappearance deserves to be mourned, and you deserve to stop carrying that mourning alone. Your thoughts, your stories, you can share them in the comments section on our Substack and on YouTube. The links are in the description. If you are getting value out of our reporting, out of what we're giving to you here on the channel, I really appreciate a quick review on Apple Podcasts. If you use Apple Podcasts, just jump over there real quick, quick review, press subscribe so you can take us with you. Also, wherever you go, so you don't miss any of the stuff we put out for you every day. And this spoke to you, and you feel so inspired to share your story, we'd love to hear it in the comments there on YouTube or Substack. We'll continue the conversation there. Until next time, my name's Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.